Echoes, the Backwards Series, Season 2, Episode 6, Something Underhanded, by Guinevere Eckert. The Flash Pack had seen their share of freak happenings in very bad days, but they never expected that the two would collide on Election Day. They had finally figured out the source of the subliminal radio waves, and even what a few of them said. Now, with the poll stations empty, they were running out of time to end the madness and get the country out to vote.
You guys don't mind if I turn on the radio, do you?
No!
Dr. Steloff reached out to turn the radio on. Suddenly, Fertris jumped out of nowhere and landed on Steloff's arm, sinking his claws in deep. Steloff flung his arm about until Fertris dislodged and went flying across the room.
What in the world is that mangy cat doing? Get it out of the laboratory!
That's Catman, thank you! And they just saved us from the great doctor's itty minuscule brain!
All I wanted was a little music while I worked. It helps me think more clearly.
Dr. Steloff, every radio station, television station, and I think even those singing dolls?
Keen checked a monitor and nodded the affirmative.
Even singing toys are broadcasting Gonzalo's music. If you turn it on, we'll be blasted with the same subliminal demands that we're trying to save the rest of the planet from.
Why don't you guys take Mr. Fuzzbottom here and call up Jimmy and Slaughter? Let them know what's going on.
Keen, Drellis, and Fertris left the laboratory, and moments later were on hold, waiting for Jimmy to be called out of a meeting.
Sarah, I know this may sound harsh, but today is election day, and we're in the middle of a briefing, so this had better be important.
Jimmy, it's about Slade Gonzalo!
You guys are interrupting this meeting to tell me about a pop sensation?
Yes, the pop sensation. Look, he's an alien, and now he's brainwashed a good majority of the teenagers on Earth.
Congratulations, you're geniuses. Why is this important to me?
I'll take that, young man. Hey, Kane, what's up?
Thank goodness, a voice of reason!
I trust you heard everything of what we just said?
Yeah, you'd think they'd have volume control on the phones in the super-secret offices of this place.
Well, we've cracked a few of the subliminal messages. They started with simple slogans. Slade's the best, I heart Gonzalo, glitter and platform shoes for all. Then it changed to instructions.
Buy Gonzalo's albums, share Slade with your friends, etc.
7 hours ago, every radio station in the world started playing the same song over and over and over again. 3 hours ago, it went to television. We can't get a lock on what the message is because we can't listen to it. I think this is it. Nobody's going anywhere. Cars are stopped. Nobody's walking around. Everyone is glued to the radio. Something's going to happen, and it's not going to be good.
Thanks for the update, guys, but I still agree with Jimmy. Why is it imperative that we know this right now?
If the planet turns into a bunch of pop music zombie slaves this afternoon, not only will we have to reverse the process and hope we can save everybody instead of stopping it in the first place, but I really don't think Jimmy's going to do well in the election.
Slaughter turned to look at Jimmy, the fear plainly showing on her face.
What do we do?
Get Marsh. For God's sakes, get your video phone and get into a soundproof bunker. Don't come out until you hear from us.
Drellis left the communications chamber and headed back to the laboratory.
Hey, Max. Could I borrow you for a second?
Sure, Drellis. What's up?
Well, there's this thing I need to show you back in my room.
Molly flinched and rolled her eyes.
Can it wait until later, Drellis? We're kind of busy right now.
Max, I've been trying to talk to you for weeks. Why do you keep brushing me off?
I'm sorry, Drellis. I just don't have time for this right now. I know it may seem simple to you, reconfiguring a broadcast to override every radio and television station, plus you said toy dolls? But if both Molly and Dr. Steloff haven't figured it out yet, I really don't think we-
Molly and Dr. Steloff, Max. Not you.
I need to be here when they fix the radio. We need to be able to
I've got it!
You've got it?
Max ran over to Molly and the doctor.
He's got it?
No.
When Max looked back to the doorway, Drellis was gone.
Sarah, I need to show you something.
Sure, Drellis. What is it?
The girls were in Drellis's room. She reached under her pillow and pulled out a dark crystal-looking thing.
I found it a few months ago. I wanted to show Max, but...
Max is a nincompoop, and I'm still not seeing what it is.
Keen, it's a communicator. I've been contacted...
Fertris! Drellis turned to see Fertris in the outer chamber of her rooms, paused and looking like a deer caught in headlights. Keen leapt up from the bed, grabbed a squirt bottle full of water from the windowsill, and ran towards the Catman, who suddenly regained his ability to sprint.
Get back here, cat!
Keen caught up with Fertris by the elevator and grabbed him by the nape of his neck.
How many times do I have to tell you? Stay away from Drellis' stuff!
She sprayed the cat in the face over and over again before throwing him, still yelling to beat the band, into the elevator and pressed the down button.
He got anything important?
No. Just sprayed the same pair of shoes again. I think I'm gonna have to throw them out.
Meanwhile, in the laboratory.
I've got it!
You've got it?
I've got it!
She's got it!
Max leaned on the intercom.
Drellis, Keen, get down here. Molly's got it!
Indeed, Molly had got it.
You see here? We didn't need to bypass that second circuit in order to get the meter bugs to absorb the signal. We had it right the first time when we plugged the main message into them through the subwoofer in the jello. They just didn't have enough corporeal energy to get the signal as large as we wanted it to.
What is it that you got?
They're hungry. I'd like to see you broadcast a signal all over the planet with nothing to eat for breakfast.
So what do we feed them?
That's where you come in, Doctor. Hand me one of those crates of bananas you always carry around with you.
Oh, no.
For real, Steloff, we need the bananas.
Miss Singh, you do not understand. Remember, I have a condition. I can only eat bananas or my larynx will shrink, my head will expand, my respiratory system will turn neon blue, my toes will fall off, and
dude,
then...
stop! That's gross!
It feels even worse.
Dr. Steloff, tomorrow morning, I will personally take you to the rainforest and handpick you an entire bushel of bananas myself. Unless you do not hand over a crate of them right now, because if you don't, there won't be a point. Because the world will be crawling with what we're pretty sure are going to be dancing zombies!
But why do you need my bananas?
Doctor, what is the main ingredient needed for an emitter bug to emit?
The doctor sat uncomfortably in silence.
Ooh, I know. Pick me. Okay, fiber. They need fiber. Molly, you're a genius!
Thank you, Max. Now will you kindly explain to the good doctor what an excellent source of fiber bananas are, and the fact that all the grocery stores are closed at this hour?
Dr. Steloff grudgingly handed over a crate of his precious bananas. Molly sliced them, arranged them nicely on a dish, sprinkled them with sugar,
a little extra boost in energy,
and placed them in front of the emitter bugs. The poor insects, having been pummeled with electrodes and coded messages all day, swarmed the plate. The bananas were gone in minutes. Molly sliced up more bananas while Max carefully carried the cage full of bugs to the window and placed it on the sill.
So, how do we make it work?
Theoretically, Mr. Thornfield, the emitter bugs should start to broadcast the signal on their own.
They all stared at the cage. Nothing happened.
Oh dear. I thought for sure that the bananas would do it.
She plunked the rest of the sliced bananas in with the bugs and walked off. The bugs, for their part, swarmed, then started humming and pulsing different colors.
Molly, it's working, I think. Something's happening. Tell us if it's good.
Molly dashed back to the window and started laughing.
It's working! Oh, Max, it's working!
Drallis and Keen came skidding into the room. Keen took one look and ran to a console. It worked! Slade's broadcast had stopped. The satellite shows people coming out of their homes. Your message worked! 5 minutes later, news broadcasts stated that the pop star had been arrested and deported back to his home planet to be quarantined and dealt with according to his own laws, which meant the death sentence. They also reminded everyone that there were still a few hours left before the polls closed. Meanwhile, back in Washington, the armed guards opened the doors to the bunker, and Jimmy, Slaughter, and Senator Marsh returned to the world of fresh air and Romanesque architecture.
Please, Mr. Kovacs, Miss Slaughter, why don't you come with me to my headquarters? They're serving something special tonight in honor of the election. We could turn it into a celebration for your team's great ability to once again save Earth from utter destruction. You should join us and call up the rest of your team as well.
Senator, I'd be honored.
Jimmy, Keen's been planning this meal for months. You can't expect her to be fine with you missing a meal that she gave her wisdom teeth for.
My sincerest apologies, Senator, but we really must decline.
How unfortunate. But you mustn't disappoint Miss Keen.
Say, would you like to join us for dinner instead?
We could make a party out of it. You know, hang out as friends while they count the votes. Send the message to the American people that there won't be any hard feelings. That we can respect each other and even have a good time, even though we're opponents.
Great idea, Slaughter.
I know. That's why you made me your campaign manager, remember?
He's right, Miss Slaughter. It is a smashing idea. However, I must attend this dinner tonight. But why don't you all, your Flash friends too, nip on up to my headquarters after your meal, and I'll serve you your promised desserts then.
Senator Marsh?
Oh, come now, Jimmy. Presidential candidate or not, you're still a kid. I know you're not going to say no to a free sundae. And how would your lovely lady take it if you turned down chocolate on her behalf?
You've got a point. Even as a man, Slaughter was obsessed with chocolate.
Look, I have a sweet tooth!
Smiling, Marsh bade the two adieu and boarded his Boston-bound vessel. 2 hours later, Jimmy and Slaughter were waiting for the dinner bell when the update on the polls was interrupted for a breaking story.
People of America, it is with the greatest humility and an infinite wealth of gratitude that I accept my position as the new President of the United States of America.
What?
What the? Oh, sorry. Tune in for next week's Epic Echoes episode, Something Fishy in Boston? And get clued into what just happened.